to all of you out there. Hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I am Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us today on the Arts Magazine Show as you listen to us right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. Glad to have you here. I'm Michael Hogue, your host, by the way. We have some good guests coming your way today. We're going to start out, and I hope I did all this right. You know, she's calling in from her many travels around the country. Beth Bird will be with us. She's many things, and I'll get to that in just a minute. She's going to be talking about some of the events that her Bird Productions has going on. Then in the second half of the show, the Owen Cox Dance Group will be with us. They're doing a show called A Body of Work, which encompasses a lot of things, a series of reflections and musings on the human body. And don't we all like to hear about that, don't we? So without delay, let's see if I did all the technical things correctly. Is Beth on the line with me right now?
Hey there, how are you?
She is. She's on the air. I did it correctly. Hello, Beth. Nice to have you with us.
You are correct, sir. I am here. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I assume, boy, as I say, looked at your webpage, and I have your webpage up right now. You're not
That's
here,
right.
So you can't see me, but I have... wouldn't it be great if we had those things like some talk shows have where you can actually see the people on the air? It would
right,
be like television.
Right. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, but we'd have to dress better, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to see me right now.
Yeah, well, me either, probably. Beth Bird Movement Theater has at least two events I saw coming up very soon.
Right.
Which one would you like to talk about first?
Well, let's go in chronological order.
Okay. You know, Beth, I suppose I should not let the excitement keep me from doing a proper introduction. Beth Bird is a clown, a mime, a performer, a producer. She puts on workshops. She brings in talent from around the country and in some cases other countries to help put on, workshops for people in this area to help learn. She once studied with Marcel Marceau, and people always ask me, Beth. They say, did he mime his way through the class? And I guess the answer would be no. He actually spoke to you.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, he was very chatty.
Well,
he was a chatty fellow. Yes, he was.
That's right. And Beth wears many hats, as I just said. And today, she's not here, but I think she's probably wearing that maroon hat with a green band around it that I've seen her wear.
Oh, that's true. That's true. If I were, it's the multi character hat that I'm wearing today. So I'm producer and performer. Speaking about several things coming up. So yeah. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I greatly appreciate it. And I'm thrilled to be on the same show with Owen Cox. It's a perfect show to hear right after this one, because we're both focusing on the body. And I know Jennifer Owen is amazing performer, and her focus on the body is exquisite. So I'm thrilled to be on the same show with them. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the upcoming workshop.
Yeah, do you want to talk about Joe Williams and Del Sarte first? That is coming up October 3rd. So that is this Friday and this Sunday.
Correct. The workshops that the general public can take, if you've not studied from him yet, because this is his third time, I believe, in Kansas City. Several people have studied with him before, and that's why the date shows that it starts Thursday and Friday, but those are for private lessons for the folks who have studied with him before. So you can extend your studies by starting early. But for the general public, it all starts Saturday, this Saturday the 4th, at 8:30 a.m. So, go to bed Friday night and wake up refreshed for an 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. The Three Pillars of Del Sarte. It's the Three Pillars Expressive Zones of the Body. And you have to start with that before you can take most of the rest of the workshops. And I know I can't give a price, but I know that I can tell you I think they're very reasonably priced for what this gentleman has to offer. And I don't say that lightly, because the art of Del Sarte is almost gone from the planet, let alone America. And this fellow is one of the few that is still carrying on the very strong tradition of Del Sarte. Del Sarte, so let me tell you a little bit about how I found him,
okay.
If I may. Okay, you know, so I was studying with Marcel Marceau.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So then I started pulling on the string, you know, to find out, well, who did he study from? He studied from a fellow named Etienne de Crewe, and then Etienne de Crewe studied from Charles Dullin, and then Charles Dullin studied from Del Sarte. And you can pull that same string from several people, Martha Graham. So, yes, if Jennifer Owen is listening, she could probably pull that thread herself. Most modern dancers can pull that thread back to Del Sarte. And anybody can take these classes. Anybody can utilize them. They are useful for all bodies, and they're just so practical and necessary and also very eye-opening. Everybody has an aha moment in his classes. And it's okay if you're brought to tears, too, by the way. And that happens, too, because a lot of people will be working against something for their whole lives and suddenly have this little slip, a little ta-da, a little aha in his class, and then that's just simply gone. Whatever it was that they were suffering and fighting and resisting and pushing against, it just goes away. That's the training he has. So I highly recommend these classes. Let me tell you about the rest of them, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Saturday, 11:30 to 10:30, the three pillars, 10:45 to 12:45, body language.
And that body language and performance.
Okay,
and then, right?
What happened?
And then,
here? Did we lose
hello?
Did we lose that bird?
Okay, hello? 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 Hello?
She was just
hello?
About to tell us about the classes she was going to be
hello?
Doing.
I'm here, can you hear me?
She's still there somewhere.
I'm here, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
The land of not there.
Hello? Hello?
She calls back in a minute. She's
hello?
Here. She's
hello?
Talking about
can you hear me?
Her,
can you hear me?
She just had
hello?
Joe Williams and
Michael?
Del Sarte, October 3rd through the 5th, actually 3rd, 4th,
hello?
And 5th. It's
hello?
Located at 903 Harrison Street from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Arts Asylum.
Hello?
Access, I guess across the street from... across the street from the Arts Asylum, and do we have Beth back now?
Hello, are you there?
Yeah.
Hello.
You disappeared
you
for a while. Were you under a tunnel or something?
No, I am where I should have a lot of towers. Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you fine now. You were just going to talk about the two parts.
Okay.
So
yes.
Go back.
Okay.
We're talking about Del Sarte. And,
Del Sarte.
Yes,
yes,
Del Sarte. Okay.
So,
is that in any way related to Del Arte?
No, Del Arte is before Del Sarte. Del
before.
Sarte is a gentleman's
okay.
name. Del Arte is an art form of physical theater that harkens back to the 1400s Europe, and so that William Shakespeare could draw heavily from from Del Arte, all the classic characters and from Del Arte are utilized by Shakespeare. So,
okay.
Yeah. And Gilligan's Island, I might add.
Well, yeah,
and Gilligan's Island.
So.
But I'll get to that because we're going to have some Del Arte in the show we have coming up.
Okay. So she's talking about Del Sarte, and she was she was talking about that it was in two parts, really. So where did we leave
Saturday,
off?
Saturday, if you can take all of the Saturday workshops as a performer, you'll be happy, happy, happy. There's 8:30 to 10:30 is the three pillars. 10:45 to 12:45 is body language and performance. 1:30 to 3:30 is performing with props. So it's more those two are performance oriented. And then Sunday, yoga for everybody is really for everybody. You don't need to take the three pillars. That's Sunday from 9 to 10. But then after that, you need the Del three pillars before you can take 10:15 to 12:15, finding your balance. And it's a big eye-opener, finding your balance. We think we have it. We Americans think we have it. We're not very balanced. And then 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, whole world in your hands. And that's the arms and hands of a dancer or a performer, and a lot of dancers love that workshop. and then from 3:15 to 5:15, dynamic poses for the camera. So anybody who poses in front of a camera could really utilize this. So, okay, and that's all, as you said. So thank you. You covered that.
Yes, across the street.
Covered the location.
I've been, of course, to the Arts Asylum. That's easy to find. But you're in a building across the street from the Arts Asylum?
Oh, yes. And it's a wonderful space. The Kansas City Masonic Temple, upstairs is this wonderful, huge space. And it's at 903 Harrison. There's plenty of parking. There's a parking lot attached to the building. And it's a great place. I've taken a workshop there before, and it was just, if I may use the word, transcendent. It's wonderful. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you have that coming up. That is Joe Williams and Del Sarte, October 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Is it 5? No, you mentioned different times than what I have here. I have 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
I would just say to the general public, it's Saturday and Sunday only.
Okay.
Saturday, get there before 8:30 so you can get there in plenty of time. There's 3 workshops on Saturday and 4 workshops on Sunday. And all of this, by the way, is on my website, byrdproductions.org, byrdproductions.org. It's on the go to the classes page.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there on the classes. And there's a link there to register for the workshops. And you need to register. I can't tell you the price. I sound like a car dealership. I can't tell you the low, low price, but you need to register.
How low will Beth go? How low will Beth go?
All workshops must go. No, but no, it is cheap. It's less expensive by quite a bit if you register before the 1st.
That's byrdproductions.org. You can go and look for yourself. That's even better than listening to us say it, because we could mess it up. But it's probably right on the website, Byrd Productions.
Yes.
Oh, it's a B-Y-R-D, like Admiral Byrd.
B-Y. Admiral Byrd, and yes, we are related.
Yes.
We are related.
To Admiral Byrd. So he journeyed. He made great journeys across vast wastelands. And, you know, there's some similarities between that and you.
I can act that out while standing on a dime.
Yeah, do you want the phone number given out as well? You'll be inundated with calls.
Let's see, I'm trying to think if I have a phone number to give. If they can just go to my website, byrdproductions.org, if they absolutely cannot, they can call me. But I know the person whose number I need to give out, which I'm not sure I can, is Bellatrix Ali. These workshops are originally brought to town by Bellatrix Ali and Goldie Goldstein. And Bellatrix has her own clothing line and her own studio, and Goldie Goldstein is just a wonderful performer. And I asked if I could help them promote these workshops because I so believe in these workshops and what they can provide. So that's what I'm doing. Because you know me, I'm heavily into continuing education for us as we for adults.
Mm-hmm.
For adults.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point of getting older?
That's right. We need something. We need to stay active. We need to stay interested and engaged and have a lot of fun besides. It's all about having fun, ultimately, isn't it?
It is for me. And the other thing I can say about these workshops is they really do facilitate us aging well. They really, really do. Helps our body alignment, getting in touch with ourselves so that we move better. And moving better really does let us live longer.
Yeah.
And more, just helps
your life.
So
if you go to Beth's website, you can click on send an email to Beth, or you can click on more information and things like that, and you can communicate her with her directly. You know?
That's right. That's right. And I will get back to you on that, too.
That's right.
So, yeah, let me tell you about the show coming up. We just have a few minutes about that as well.
Fool's Fortune 7. There's been 7 of them so far. Wow.
7. We skipped last year. We decided to combine with another company. We changed it to Physical Flow Show. But this year we're going back to Fool's Fortunes. It seems to – it just works better for Byrd Productions. It's more of – In alignment with our mission statement. And by the way, our mission statement is honoring humanity through creative self-expression dedicated to providing quality movement-based theater through performance, education, collaboration, and scholarship. So there.
Yeah.
So this is our 7th annual Fool's Fortunes, and a lot of folks might look at this and think it's a lot like other shows with an MC and bada bing, bada boom, you know, let's one act after the other. But what we do for a week is form a company of physical theater performers, and we rehearse together, we come up with a show. There's no MC. This is theater. And we get a chance to do what we always, like, for most of us, most of us don't get a chance to get real light and sound design. We are usually, you know, there's your auditorium,
there's the
kids, go. And we have to work really hard to get focus on us and get people to really watch what we want them to see as far as really focusing in on the performance. That happens quite a bit, and we're good at it, that's why we're professionals, but a chance to get a dedicated audience that's there just to see what we really, really, really want to show them, with all our bells and whistles. And to me, that's worth the whole year of fundraising that I do. You know, so I hope people show up just to see our dreams come true for them, that they would share in our dreams, of, look, this is it. When we get a chance, this is what we really want to do. So,
tell me about the performers that will be there and what they'll perhaps be doing. And I know there's probably certain surprises you don't want to give away. So don't tell.
That's so true. There's a few things that I know people are percolating on and working on because we've had conversations and I've had to say, look, you can go bigger than that. And you really can, you get to do more than that. And that's one of the things I love getting to say to actors is that little idea, go bigger with it. That little thing, you can expand that. And that one's the trick, turn it into a three, you know, a 1, 2, 3, and we'll have you perform 3 times throughout the show. Everybody is so used to, one of our main questions is, how much time do you want us to fill? That's our usual question when producers call us. We're like, okay, how much time do you want us to fill? And this is more of a back to them, what do you really want to do? And you can do more than one number, and I'd like it if you did. So we'll have 2 halves of the show, and we'll have people performing more than once. So the folks performing, whenever we can do this, we try to start with Jay and Leslie Cady of Laughing Matters. And Jay and Leslie both studied with Marcel Marceau, and they're also jugglers, and they're wonderful people and wonderful performers, award-winning. By the way, a lot of these performers are award-winning performers. And we have them right here in Kansas City. So Jay and Leslie Cady, without them, the show would just not feel the same at all. They're the thread. So when I get them, I know I'm in good shape, and then I can go move forward. we also have Patrick Ripito. He's still doing Commedia, so that's why I'm mentioning him right away. He's doing Commedia dell'arte. He went to Italy to study Commedia, and I've worked with him quite a bit since he's come back into Kansas City. We got to do a nice big show at the Nelson this last November, the day after Thanksgiving, and had a great time working together. Then there's also Alan Tilson, and another award-winning actor. Alan Tilson is going to do some of his Fool from King Lear. So it's King Lear's Fool, and he presented at the Fringe Festival this year. King Lear just gets better and better. He does it as a one-man show. So that's pretty amazing to me. We also have Michael Morales, the elusive Michael Morales. He's hard to get into a show, but I get him in my shows, and I'm very lucky. He's got a Balinese background, and he's going to do some Balinese monkey mask performance.
I can't comment on that now.
I know. It's true clown. The monkey character is a true clown character. And he does it very well. Let's see, we have Patricia Rasconi. I've been working with Patricia Rasconi since she was in middle school, and she's doing some mime physical theater material.
Now she must be very, very young then.
She's so so young. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for picking up on that. So she's still very young. And then we also have new to us, Corso and Dot. And this is whenever I get a chance to bring along some up-and-coming, very eager and talented performers, they're going to do a combination of mime and magic, and they're calling what they're doing Silent Deceptions. And they're just sweet performers. I'm looking forward to working with them in a show. And then we also have The Flock, a company of clowns. And I'm not sure. So it's the company of clowns that I perform with. And the members are Marty Honig, Larry Goodman, Ellen Pager, Catherine Pager, and Alan Brannon, and myself. And at this point, if I perform as a company member this time, I just have a fairly small role. But I will be doing a couple of my mime pieces.
Ah.
Yes, I will be. So a whole bunch of my friends. I went to this Renaissance Festival yesterday, and so many of them said that I miss seeing you perform. And I don't know if they'll make it out this time because it's the same weekend as the last weekend of the Renaissance Festival. But I hope they can make it out. It'll be Friday night and Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and Sunday at 2, and that's October 10th and 11th.
Uh-huh.
And then
Just Off Broadway Theater. Now, don't confuse the two places. The workshop is in the building across the street from the Arts Asylum.
That's right.
The Fool's Fortune 7 is at the Just Off Broadway Theater, 3051 Central in Pin Valley Park.
Yes. And anybody, let me just tell everybody the best way to get to that theater that I have found. So MapQuest will get you to the corner of 33rd and Wyandotte, okay? Use MapQuest or Google Map, anything to get yourself to 33rd and Wyandotte. And then just go two blocks north on Wyandotte. And as you go under the Broadway Bridge, the parking lot immediately appears on your right-hand side. And the reason why Google Maps and MapQuest will not get you to the theater with that address is because the city and parks do not agree. The whole map breaks down as soon as you go under the Broadway Bridge.
Ah, which is very near there, actually. Yeah.
Right. Huh. So that's what happens when parks and cities don't agree on their maps. So there you go.
Yeah, bureaucracy, what can I tell you? It's October 10th. October 11th and October 12th. The October 10th and 11th are performances in the evening at 8 o'clock p.m. The Sunday afternoon performance on October the 12th is at 2 o'clock p.m. All of these performances of Fool's Fortune 7 are at the Just Off Broadway Theater, 3051 Central. As Beth says, go to 33rd and Wyandotte, then come back south. You're going under.
No, north.
Oh, okay.
Go north.
Okay,
go north two blocks on Wyandotte.
But you need to go under 31st Street. And a lot of people didn't realize that you don't go under 31st
Street. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. You're right. Under 31st Street. You are right, yes.
And you come back, and then the parking lot then would be on their right as they're traveling north on the street. Yeah. They have to get that straightened out for you. Not just you, but all the performers at the Just Off Broadway Theater for all of that.
Right.
So Beth, Beth listed the names of some of the people that are in Fool's Fortune with her, and I recognize some of these names. Some of these people have been with you for several years now. Some for more than several.
Well, Jane Leslie has been in every show so far. Most of the Flock has been in quite a few of the shows. Patricia, I think, has been in more than one show. Michael, Corso and Dot, brand new. Patrick Ripito, I keep doing that. He's going to kill me because I've gone back and forth on his name. But I've performed with him quite a bit. But what happened was when I moved to Kansas City in 85, the Mime Walk Company had just disbanded. And then it took me a few years to form Bird Productions. And as soon as I could, I started putting together this show that was reflective of what Mime Walk used to do. But anyway, so that's one of the goals. And Jane Leslie, Katie were one of the members. They were two of the members of Mime Walk, the Mime Company.
Will they be throwing their pins to each other or at each other?
always two. They really do love each other a lot, by the way. But they do an amazing grace Gracie and George.
That's Gracie and George.
Gracie Allen.
Okay, let's do the particulars again. Joe Williams, that's coming up first. In fact, it's coming up very first. Friday,
yes.
October 3rd through the 5th of October at
right.
903 Harrison. Across
903.
Across the street from the Arts Asylum. If you want more information on that, you need to go to her website, birdproductions.org, bird with a Y this time. Come on, folks.
Yes.
WYRDproductions.org. And you will get the information on that, and then you can write to Beth on that as well. Fool's Fortune 7 will be on October 10, 11, and 12, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. The Friday and Saturday performances are at 8 o'clock. The Sunday afternoon performance at 2 o'clock. The clown's getting up early on Sunday. I suppose we'll see. Performances will be at the Just Off Broadway Theater, 3051 Central, in Pin Valley Park, at the very south end of Pin Valley Park by 31st Street. But you have to go to 33rd and Wyandotte. Come back and go under 31st Street. It's because the streets don't cut through, folks, and there's some of them are one-way streets and all that. You'll see when you get there. Yes, it's confusing. Yes, the city should change it, but that's the way it is that we have to deal with for now and do that. And you can get both by going to birdproductions.org. I suppose for Fool's Fortune 7, perhaps they could leave a message at the Just Off Broadway Theater as well?
No, I would leave it. I can give my phone number for that. You ready?
Okay.
816-305-8188.
That's the number to call to make your reservations for one or both of these events, I suppose. Beth Bird, a clown, mime, performer, producer, puts on workshops, as we've talked about, for performers around the country. Big name talent sometimes to teach from around the country as well. She's wearing her maroon hat with a green band today.
That's right.
Just go along with it, I can say. And more information, of course, can be had at Bird Productions, BYRD, productions.org. Thank you for being with us, kind lady.
Thank you for having me again, sir.
All right. We'll be talking to you soon in person next time.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much.
Okay. You going to tap dance tonight?
I am. I'm going to tap with Billy Mahoney at City in Motion, 7 o'clock.
Okay. We'll talk to you later, all right?
Thanks. Take care.
Bye-bye. We're going to take our break now. When we return, the before-mentioned Cox Dance Company will be with us when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame! Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. In the popular 1980s TV series The Equalizer, British actor Edward Woodward played a retired secret agent who spent his golden years meting out brutal punishment against a variety of nasty criminals. The show tapped into the same vicarious vigilante bloodlust that viewers experienced from Charles Bronson's Death Wish movies. There's probably not a better choice for this movie reboot than Denzel Washington. He adds a layer of gritty, steely assurance to the role of the Equalizer, a good guy pushed reluctantly into action by sleazy Russian gangsters. Chloe Grace Moritz plays a young abused hooker who Denzel tries to save. Director Antoine Fuqua, who steered Washington to his Oscar-winning performance in Training Day, ratchets up the violence to a level that can only be described as sadistic. Although the movie begins well, it becomes increasingly absurd and repetitive as it goes along, degenerating into a series of brutally familiar incidents. Still, Washington is money, and the movie delivers the goods for action fans. I just wish that Washington would find material more worthy of his talents. Also opening this week, The Box Trolls is a stop-motion animated offering about a family of bizarre creatures raised by an orphan boy. Saturday Night Live alums Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig play estranged siblings in the comic drama The Skeleton Twins. John Lithgow and Alfred Molina portray an aging gay couple forced by finances to sell their apartment and live apart in the drama Love is Strange. Kelly and Cal is a comic drama about the friendship between a lonely housewife and her 17-year-old neighbor. At the Devil's Door is yet another haunted house horror flick, and Fonterra is a contemporary Western murder mystery set on the Mexico-Arizona border. Ed Harris, Michael Pena, and Eva Longoria star. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM.
Freeze Frame!
Colleen Rowley is a former FBI special agent and chief division counsel in the Minneapolis FBI office who testified before Congress about the FBI's failure to help prevent the 9/11 attacks. She'll talk about the ethical failures which compel truth-tellers like Edward Snowden to risk their lives to tell the truth about what's happening behind the veil of secrecy in our government. This Wednesday, 12 noon on KKFI.
A doctor and her infamous patient strike a deal for life and death over the operating table.
I want you to help me kill my son.
Going to St. Ives by Lee Blessing, starring Caroline Goodall and L. Scott Caldwell, next time on L.A. Theatre Works.
Wednesday evening at 7, after Arts Beat Radio.
Get your instrument and play along.
Funding for KKFI provided by Music Together, an early childhood music and movement program for babies, toddlers, preschoolers, and the grown-ups who love them. Now found in over 2,500 communities around the world. Our three-day teacher training workshop will be held in Kansas City, October the 11th through the 13th. Learn our research-based approach and how you can join our teaching learning community. More information is at musictogether.com.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. We are going to be joined now, and she was actually, did you hear Beth Berg mention your name during our first interview?
I did not, unfortunately.
Yeah. She was talking about, Del Sarte.
Oh, wonderful.
And she mentioned, she says that Jennifer perhaps can trace some of her roots back to Del Sarte. I'll let you disagree with that. If you
sure. Well, if she, I would agree with her. Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I can't get any controversy started today. Welcome to the show. The Owen Cox Dance Company is presenting their next event. It's called A Body of Work. We're going to refer, I have the notes here, a series of reflections and musings on the human body. Now, what's more interesting to people than the human body?
Well, the piece is inspired by the movements and sounds and creations of the human body. It's original music by Brett Cox, and I've choreographed the work. Soprano Victoria Botero will be singing, and Nate Fors, fabulous artist here in Kansas City, has done the video design for the piece. So it's been a wonderful collaboration working together with all of the artists, and we'll be presenting it at La Esquina, which is a Charlotte Street Foundation venue at 25th and Southwest Boulevard, and it's an intimate venue, which we've created the piece specifically for an intimate setting so that the audience can really be a part of the performance and experience more up close the performance.
It's a great little venue. It sometimes people miss it. They drive right by. They don't make that sharp right turn. Anything you can say to help them make it? At one point, if you're traveling southwesterly, you have to make a sharp right turn.
Right. Well, if you're on Southwest Boulevard, you'll pass numerous shops, and then there's a bridge. If you've gone under the bridge, you've gone too far. It's just to the right before you would go through the bridge or under the bridge.
It's one of those buildings that, as you say, the Charlotte Street Foundation is using. And they rent it out, I suppose, to artists?
Well, no, this is actually just a venue that they curate events there. So gallery openings, visual artist performances. And so we've been talking with them for well over a year about this project, and they were very much on board in helping us present this premiere. So we're very fortunate to be getting to perform there.
Owen Cox is always so good at collaborations, and you mentioned some of the names of people that you're collaborating with. You do that a lot. Did you find out that it's easier on you, it's more creative to collaborate with people like that?
Well, it definitely brings a lot of different inspiration to a project, and I would say it's more creative in new ways, and We have worked with Nate Fors in the past and really enjoy all that he brings to the process, as well as Victoria Botero, an incredible singer. And, of course, I love working with Brad. We have many years of collaborating together on new music and dance works.
Yeah, and one of the collaborations is out in the green room right now.
Oh, right. Our baby is here, yes. Yes. Not in this room right now, because you probably hear sounds. But what's interesting is he does incorporate in this piece baby sounds that she has made.
Ah.
So there is a section called Baby Talk, where her voice is featured prominently. And also, Nate Fors included some video footage of her and her little feet and little hands and her little face. So, yeah, she is a human body in its baby form. And it's really wonderful to get to present all sorts of beautiful things that are created by the human body. One thing we did want to mention... you know, often in dance performances, dancers try to hide the sound of their breath, like when they're doing difficult sections that's maybe aerobic. They try not to make it sound like they're breathing hard. Well, in this piece, we actually wanted to let the audience hear them breathing, and so that actually is part of the work as well. And the sound of them landing from jumps, for example, we'll have certain portions of the stage with microphones underneath to enhance the sound. Sounds that dancers' bodies make while moving. The music that Brad has created incorporates, he recorded sounds that dancers were making in rehearsal. So landing from jumps, making contact with each other, breathing, striking the floor, brushing the floor, and then has recorded and digitally altered some of those sounds and created a really wonderful piece of music that I'm very excited to hear.
I always like to talk about what sparked the idea for something. Is there anything in particular that caused you to decide, oh, this is what we, next year when we do a show, I want to do one about the human body and put that to dance and put that to video. Was there anything that caused that to happen?
It was probably a combination of things, but as we were looking at our eighth season, we've been around 8 years now, so this is very exciting for us. We were thinking about a fall performance that we hadn't done anything in a small, intimate space. As we've been growing, we've been doing more performances in bigger venues, you know, the Folly Theater, Johnson County Community College, and it had been a while since we had done a performance in a more intimate setting, and so we wanted to do something that went back to that environment and create a piece that really highlighted the beauty of the human body and the creations of the human body. So,
well, in the case of a dancer, you know, there's a lot of that goes on. You know, you have to be in pretty good shape, and have to have a lot of training. You, for instance. Boy, how early did you actually start taking lessons? It had to have been at a very, very young age.
I was about 4 when I started creative movement, and I just never stopped. Started ballet at the age of 6, and the rest been an ongoing endeavor. You never perfect the art, so you just keep working at it day in, day out.
Now, that's interesting to hear. You never perfect the art.
No.
So it's constant learning all the time.
It is.
One should not get discouraged if they have problems.
No. Where there is a challenge, there is an opportunity. So
that's true.
So I tell my students, and they probably think, oh, well, she's the teacher. Well, every day, you know, when I take a ballet class, I'm still struggling with certain technical things that I've been working on for, 30-plus years. I won't say how many, but...
But, a long time, and still, you don't feel, others probably would disagree, you still don't have it 100% right, and but I bet it's a lot closer to being right than it is wrong.
Well, there are moments, moments where, everything just kind of fits together, where you're on balance, and the movement is in sync with the music, and there's an expression involved, and where everything just clicks together, and it just feels like, everything is right. And so it's those moments that you try to recreate recreate in your dance, whether you're just doing a daily ballet class or you're in rehearsal or performing. You try to create those moments for yourself, and, you know, if there's an audience, then for the audience, of course. But so you just kind of keep plugging away and hope that you have more of those moments than fewer of them. And, of course, every day is different, but it's kind of an addiction.
A body of work opens October the 2nd. That's Thursday.
It's this Thursday.
Well, that's coming right up.
It is, yes.
Do you feel like you're ready?
Yes, we most certainly will be. I'm very excited. We have a rehearsal in the space tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to seeing the video with the dance, with the live music. So,
is it difficult to put it all together?
It's a lot of work, yes. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it.
Does it ever throw people when there's video going on and they're dancing at the same time? Is it distracting for some people? Probably not you. You've done so much of this, but
For the performers?
Uh-huh.
I don't think so. The dancers in this piece are very accomplished and experienced and very professional. They're just really, they can kind of deal with all sorts of things, and I have the utmost confidence in their ability to stay focused and so I think it will all be just fine. And as a performer, you deal with lights in performance all the time. So from side lighting, which can really throw off your balance, to intense light from the front or above, or, you know, even, you know, when you're turning or doing something difficult, you can lose a sense of where front is. But you, as a professional, you just get used to dealing with that and making it look like you're not having to deal with anything technical. Yeah. You just pretend that that's not a problem.
Can we talk about some of the featured dancers? You have some pretty good ones here.
Yes, we have Betty Kondo, who has worked with us for several years now. Jeff Wolf, who is dancing with us. I actually danced with him at Ballet Met in Columbus, Ohio, and he performed with us last year and is coming back this year. Holly DeWitt, who is a Kansas City favorite. She's danced a lot with Williams Henry Contemporary Dance Company. Bob Deskins, who is a soloist with Le Grand Ballet Canadien, and Brett Taylor, who is also based in Canada. So we have a really nice cast. It's a small group because it is, you know, again, an intimate space, and the stage is limited. It's a pretty good size, but it's five dancers fill it up quite well. So. Oh.
Yeah, people have asked me before, where does she get all these people? Is she fast friends or have worked with all of these people?
Well, a lot of them I have worked with, and others come highly recommended, or I've seen videos of their work and trust in their accomplishments. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have such a... such a talented group to pick from.
We feel very fortunate, and we hope that people will come and see what everyone has to offer, because everybody has invested a lot of time, energy, sweat, a lot of sweat.
I'll bet so.
Yeah.
So, especially over this weekend, it got warmer again, so that probably doesn't help.
It did. Yes, we'll see. We'll see how the temperatures. There is air conditioning in the space, so we will be comfortable.
Sure.
And we'll have towels off on the side.
We're speaking with Jennifer Owen, co-founder, by the way, as well as artistic director of the Owen Cox Dance Group. They will be performing a show opening this Thursday, October 2nd at 8 o'clock p.m. Performances then continue on Saturday the 4th at 8 o'clock p.m. and Sunday the 5th also at 8 o'clock p.m.
Yes.
Okay, didn't want to interfere with football or baseball playoffs, I assume. So they're having it at La Esquina.
I never
pronounced that right. And it's 1000 West 25th Street. It's off of just off of Southwest Boulevard. Mm-hmm. If you want to MapQuest things, and if you have that ability, maybe you should for this, because it's a little tricky to find. The zip code is 64108, 1000 West 25th Street, La Esquina. And you'll get to see the Owen Cox Dance Group. It's called A Body of Work. And if you've just tuned in, Jennifer was telling us all of the particulars on that. It will be performed by five dancers and two musicians, Cox and Botero,
yes,
against the background of video projections, I should say, triggered by visual artist Nate Force.
Mm-hmm.
The piece centers on creations of the human body. Musical elements of the piece will be created from a combination of pre-recorded sounds that the dancers' bodies produce while dancing, with live vocal and percussive sounds. So will you be mic'd just to pick up the sound of your breathing and all of that?
Well, there will be mics placed in various parts of the stage, so all of the sounds will be enhanced. And, of course, Victoria Botero will have a microphone to enhance all of her, to amplify her vocalizations. So
the sounds will be digitally processed, amplified, and blended with other musical elements, thus adding live dancer generated musical layers to the work. Well, that was very well written. The piece acts as a reminder that while technology plays a near constant role in all of our modern lives, all work is ultimately dependent on the beauty and versatility of the human body. So they can have all kinds of little technical tricks and all that, but in the end, your body still has to do the movements and sway through it and all of that. Do you think the people will enjoy hearing the sounds of you breathing as you...
I think so. I think it's really interesting the way Brad has conceived of the progression of sounds for the piece. So I'm very excited to put it all together.
Yeah. And it's been a while, but I remember one play I did at the theater workshop, which is now the Unicorn Theater, by the way. People have trouble following all this. The director, it was a Shakespeare production, and the director wanted us to do our warm-ups in front of the audience.
Uh-huh.
So we did our vocalizing warm-ups in front of the audience, thus giving the audience a glimpse into the backstage activities. And it sounds like, in a sense, you're doing this as well, letting the audience in behind the curtain a little bit.
Absolutely. There is no curtain. Yeah, there is no curtain. There are no wings. The warm-up space is the stage, so as audience members come in, they will see the dancers warming up before the piece begins. So it's a very open and accessible experience.
Very audience inclusive.
Yes.
In that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Does that, some of the dancers, do they like that? Do they like everything to be more formalized? I guess if they did, they probably wouldn't want to do your show because you incorporate so many things like that.
Yeah, they haven't objected to anything that we've told them to
say
do.
No.
That's right. So I think they're curious and interested in how this piece will be received and presented, and I think they're all game.
Sure. Now, I'm more motive-minded, I suppose. So I kind of, and you're probably tired of this. You've heard this before. But going with what's happening, do dancers tend to go with this particular musical piece or sound, and would that cause them to want to maybe do something a little bit different in the routine than they had done before, and is that acceptable, and do you welcome that sort of thing?
I certainly welcome interpretation. We try to make things consistent where they need to be, for unison, for detail, but you know, all of these dancers are very experienced, and of course Victoria and Brad as well, will all have some different things happening each performance because it is live performance and it affects the overall piece, and I think that's welcome when there is an inspiration behind things that happen live. And that's one of the things I really enjoy about performing with live music is when you dance to recorded music, you know exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and so you can kind of get into a routine, but because of live music, you know, changing ever so slightly in tempo, or you know, things can happen, things can sound different, everybody's in a heightened sense of awareness as to what's going on. So everybody's very, very aware and listening and paying attention, and so there's that whole extra level of energy and engagement that's going on. And I think the audience picks up on that.
Yeah. People have asked me, so I'll pass the question along. I kind of know the answer, but I don't try to go on at length about it because I'm not sure of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm not sure of the answer, I tend to defer. Says, well, you need to ask Jennifer.
Oh.
But choreography speaking, do you picture in your mind what you'd like to see done and try to make that happen visually?
Yes.
How does it work in your mind as you're putting together what you would like for them to do?
Well, it's kind of been an interesting progression over the years. I would say that when I first started choreographing, I would work things out before rehearsal in my mind or in my body, and maybe leave a little bit of room for experimentation with the dancers there. And now, especially since we've had this fabulous baby born in April, when I come to rehearsal, I have not had time to prepare exact phrases of movement. And we create the movement there with the dancers and with partners and groups for the ensemble. And I have to say, I'm much more interested and inspired with that way of working now, and having a little bit more trust in what's going to happen just during rehearsal with the dancers that are there, and what comes to mind at that moment. Of course, I have a sense of what section we'll be working on before coming to rehearsal, and the feel of it, and maybe think of some general movements to get started. But then it's kind of this jumping point that you don't know what's going to happen. It's like jumping into an abyss, and hopefully there's some kind of net to catch you. But I've really enjoyed that process more, and I feel like there's more room for different directions to be taken.
Yeah,
and I welcome that.
I want to ask a little bit about the video presentation. Nate Force, he's done this thing before.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some of his video presentations in the background of, that's not really fair, although it's on a screen behind you.
Well, actually, the projection will be, it will be projected over the dancers' bodies to the wall behind them.
Oh.
So you will see the projections on their bodies, and as well as their shadows, and as well as the projection on the wall behind them. So that will have an interesting effect as well.
When you and Nate talked about this way back, he undoubtedly asked you, well, Jen, what do you want? And did he come up with some of the ideas of his own, and did you have to agree on it? Could he prepare that much ahead of time, or does he have to wait to see the kind of thing that you're going to be doing?
Actually, he created the video mostly with a little bit of description about each section that we were doing. He hadn't really seen any choreography yet. He had some of the music that Brad was working on, not in its final form, but kind of the preliminary sketches and outline with some of the sounds. And he created what he did. And what I love about working with Nate is it's always interesting and fitting and witty and clever and beautiful. He has a wonderful sense of humor, and also wonderful aesthetic, and he's immensely creative. So there was a lot of freedom, I think, in everybody's possession as coming into this project, that we just trusted that whatever one of us did would complement the piece. So we had that trust to let that happen.
Your collaborations have always worked really well.
Well, thank you.
I'm sure that has encouraged you to do more of that sort of thing. You work with people like Nate, with singers in this case,
mm-hmm.
with Victoria
mm-hmm.
in singing as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then you work with other groups sometimes as well, as you did this past weekend.
Yes, this past weekend we got to perform in New Dance Partners, which Johnson County Community College presented. They commissioned three new dance works to be performed by Kansas City Ballet, Williams Henry Contemporary Dance Company, and Owen Cox Dance Group. So we were each assigned a choreographer the choreographers were curated by Michael Uthoff, who is Executive Director of Dance St. Louis. And we were assigned Penny Saunders, who danced with Hubbard Street in Chicago and is a very up-and-coming choreographer. And she created a piece on our company we were very happy with and really enjoyed working with her. Kansas City Ballet had Amy Seiwert, who is also a very highly recognized choreographer. And Williams Henry had Robert Moses, also a fabulous choreographer. So it was a wonderful opportunity to get to present three dance pieces together on the beautiful stage of Yardley Hall and celebrate those creations.
Sure. Well, you get to Jen. It's a quick turnaround for Jen.
Well, it's a busy time of year. But
another show coming up this weekend. a body of work, musings and reflections on the human body, begins this Thursday night, the 2nd of October at 8 o'clock p.m., Saturday the 4th at 8 o'clock p.m., then Sunday evening the 5th of October, also at 8 o'clock p.m. at La Esquina, 1000 West 25th Street. If you MapQuest, the zip code is 64108, and it's just off of Southwest Boulevard, right before you go under. Is it a train bridge, Jen?
I think it's a train bridge.
And
if they
go under the bridge and they've gone too far, is that like Ponax and other places?
Yeah, and the Boulevard Brewery. You don't want to be on the side where Boulevard Brewery is, but if you're trying to go to the performance, you don't want to be on that side of the Boulevard Brewery. It's on the north side of the bridge.
Yeah, a quick right on the right side as you're traveling southwest. If you're coming from the other direction, it's a left turn.
Yes, right, if you're heading northeast, yes.
Right there at La Esquina. To see a body of work with Jennifer Owen, Brad Cox doing music, a series of reflections and musings on the human body with five dancers, Nate Ford's video, soprano Victoria Botero, and many others going into the production as well.
And tickets are available at the door. However, I would recommend buying them online if you could. If people want to make their reservations secure at www.owencoxdance.org. It is a small venue, so we're planning on being able to fill it each show. So if you want to be secured a seat, we advise purchasing ahead of time at owencoxdance.org.
Yes, plenty of room at the La Esquina for that. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Michael.
Jennifer Owen, the founder and artistic director as well of the Owen Cox Dance Group. Performances begin this Thursday evening at 8 at La Esquina through the auspices, as they say, of the Charlotte Street Foundation and the Urban Culture Project as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Michael.
For being with us. The Jazz Insider is next. Great jazz. You have something special coming up for you this afternoon. Jazz from 1 to 3, then Lady D and the Blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.